Hello, welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. Much excitement this evening. Very, very, very special guest. Another very special guest. You're definitely my favourite guest so far.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce? No problem at all. Would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
My name is Josh Miller, and I am a pre-reg pharmacist currently, and quite obviously Jonathan's favourite guest. I don't know why or what I've done to deserve that compliment, but I'll take it on the chin quite happily.
Fair enough. Take it and run, I would say.
Yeah, exactly, before you change your mind.
So who are you, Josh, and what have you been up to?
I'm not even a pharmacist yet, sorry to say. I'm currently a pre-reg pharmacist at the Queen Elizabeth University Hostel in Glasgow. And I am, if you can believe it or not, 6 months into my pre-reg now. So all the pre-regs listening out there, I'm sure the 26-week appraisal is coming up. So that's quite a frightening and daunting prospect, but halfway through. So hopefully get all that signed off, and hopefully in August we'll be a no longer a baby pharmacist, as some of my colleagues call me in the hospital.
Very good. Well, you are quite baby-faced, aren't you?
I am. I mean, yeah, I'm 23, but I probably look about a 12-year-old, so...
saying nothing.
It doesn't help me as well, because I've just done 6 months in the kids' hospital, and so, you know, it's hard not to get recognised as a patient and not
just
a pharmacist.
Blend in.
I do indeed.
Very good. So how did uni go? Tell us about what... Because it's like 10 years since I've been at uni, at least.
No, it's
not.
Say... You're probably you're probably one of the younger pharmacists I know, but uni feels like it was almost a lifetime ago. But I graduated in June 2018. So I went to Strathclyde. I was their first year. I was one of the guinea pigs of their new M-Pharm course, which is, you know, is now in their fifth year, so it's not that new anymore. But I was the first one to go through that after it was redesigned. So I had a great time at uni. I really enjoyed it, made a lot of great friends. The course was really great, enjoyed that aspect. I think uni is always funny because you start off as a fresher thinking that I'm never going to get to that graduation stage. It just seems so long. But I don't think 4 years has ever gone as quick in my life. And I always remember when I was in first and second year hearing the procession and the bagpipes of graduation and thinking, God, that's so far away. Until one day I woke up and that was me, late for graduation, but made it in time.
Very good. Well, certainly the early experiences of uni for me are mostly unbroadcastable. So I think the less said the better, to be honest.
Yes,
How was the course different then? What changes did they make?
The course was different. I think Strathclyde was always known for being very industrial and science-based. And I think that was very, you know, that was well known throughout the profession. And I think it changed when I arrived to be a much more clinical and systems-based sort of degree. And I think RGU had maybe done it the year before and Strathclyde cottoned on. Just becoming, you know, really updating it. Obviously, we don't go a day or a week without something changing in pharmacy practice right now. I think everybody much prefers the clinical aspect of pharmacy. I mean, they do.
You just said the C word.
I know. I listened to your last podcast. But when I say clinical, I mean the patient-facing role, which the majority of pharmacists enjoy, and maybe not so much, you know, making tablets and suppositories and stuff. So there was less emphasis on that and the manufacturing, and more emphasis on the patient and, you know, treatment and treatment options and guidelines and things like that. So it definitely prepared us a lot better, I think, than previous pre-regs and previous graduates, on what the normal day for a pharmacist is like. I really enjoyed it. I didn't really have many qualms with the course, to be honest. You know, the occasional maybe late night or sore head in the morning, but you know,
occasional.
Maybe more so than the occasional. Maybe I'm just being polite here, but yeah, definitely. So I enjoyed it, but like I said, it flew by. I would like to go back, maybe see what it's like now.
Very good. What would you do differently if you went to uni again?
Nothing, I don't think.
No, me neither. I loved uni.
I don't think. No, I mean, like, you work hard, you play hard. I think we were, pharmacy was very sort of insular in terms of we didn't share lectures with other courses. You know, you went to Strathclyde, and I'm sure it's the same with RGU. You'd see lectures for chemistry, and they would have, you know, 400 people in their lectures. All the mechanics and the engineers would have the same lectures. We very stayed, you know, within our cohort. It was just us, which was really beneficial because it meant that you knew, you know, by, you know, second year, you knew everybody. You're, you know, really good friends. I mean, I still see a lot of my friends from uni, you know, at the weekends. We all go out and stuff like that. So it's really good because you're such a tight-knit group. And I think that suited everybody really well. There wasn't a lot of, you know, I don't know that person or I don't know this person, because, you know, I think it was funny. I think the first lecture we had, nobody knew each other, and there was total silence when the lecturer walked in the room. And I think about 2 weeks later, they couldn't shut us all up. So that just speaks for itself, I think.
That's good. Yeah, no, that's nice. Yeah, I miss those. I miss the amount of time you have as a proper grown up adult. You don't, time just seems to disappear. And then what time there was left when you have children just vamooses, you know, it's just gone. So
yeah, what I do miss is naps in the afternoon. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but definitely naps between your workshops in the afternoon, or revising. I should re-quote that to revising. But
naps in the afternoon, that's staying in. I'm not editing that out.
Yeah.
That's so what do you think about the, because word on the street has it that there's going to be maybe a 5-year proposition for pharmacy students.
Never.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, where did you hear this? These gossip and rumors from John?
Reliable sources.
Reliable sources. I think it's, I was first a little bit skeptical. I must admit, I was skeptical because, like I said, I really enjoyed the course that it was. And from what I was hearing, like you said, at the time when it first was announced, there was a lot of ums and ahs. Everybody was sort of up in the air. Nobody really knew what was going on, what the course would look like. You know, I think I really enjoyed the NESS process for us in Scotland, RGU and Strathclyde. We go through NESS. And that was really the only competitive aspect we did in pharmacy. We didn't have to interview to get in. You got your grades and then you got in. So it was your real time to sort of shine. And I thought I brought the best out in everybody. So to maybe get rid of that, and I think the whole point of the 5-year was everybody was guaranteed a pre-reg spot. I was a little bit sceptical of that because I do know that there might have been some people on the course who may not have gone on to do pre-reg, or may not have done so well, or maybe just didn't really enjoy pharmacy anymore. And so for those students, was it worth it? And then, you know, sort of time went on. I think it was announced by Rosemary in, I want to say, 2017, maybe. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's 2017. And I think it was to run in line with medics and dentists. They can all do everything as soon as they graduate, basically. I mean, that's what I've seen when I'm on the
hospital board. There's a bit of a misconception that they can do everything. They're qualified. I mean, they're qualified prescribers, but
yes,
I think
they're qualified prescribers, which I think is a bugbear of, and I'll probably get shot down for saying this. I think that should be included in the undergrad course.
Without a doubt, every pharmacist should be a prescriber.
Yeah, but I think to see such young medics come out with such responsibility, and I think for us, do we maybe mollycoddle the pharmacist? Do we maybe reserve them or protect them? I mean, you know, being a pre-reg and, you know, not being able to check a, you know, we do this all the time at units. It's a question, and it's a debate. Definitely.
I think my own view is that pharmacy practice and, you know, the delivery of pharmaceutical care, in inverted commas, is changing so rapidly. I mean, my career is a good example of how I basically started 10 years ago in community, and I was dispensing. There's nothing wrong with dispensing, but the role that I do now is in GP practice, and actually a bit of prescribing in community beforehand was totally different skill set. And I think the education to back that up is sort of catching up with the
that's the thing.
Needs.
Yeah, I think it was also a good time I should probably disclose that I currently there's four or five working groups for the 5-year integrated course.
Is this a conflict of interest, Josh?
This is possibly a conflict of interest just before, you know, anybody jumps down my throat. And I was invited to sit on the group for the recruitment and admissions process.
One thing I would have quite liked would have been more, and I know they're talking about this in Scotland, more experiential learning. I think that was a really good idea. Definitely. And that would support my current role a lot better and prepare me better, I think.
Definitely.
But the course, when I qualified, suited the role that I qualified to do, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
So there's nothing wrong. It's just change, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like I said, you know, we don't go a week without something changing. There's a new PGD here, there's a new license here. And so, although I say I was the first cohort to go through the new MPharm, that, you know, that course is now 5 years old. I mean, and I think now is probably the best time. It's probably the one of the most fundamental times in pharmacy that there will be in a long time, where there's a lot of momentum. The landscape is constantly changing. And so if the landscape of pharmacy practice is changing, why should we not be changing the education in which those pharmacists will be practicing in? And so I think it makes complete sense. And I think to have a 5-year integrated course that runs parallel with the likes of medics and dentists, and to be able to say that when you graduate pharmacy as a pharmacy degree, that you can call yourself a pharmacist, I think is about right. Because, and that's going to get a lot of flack as well, because I see a lot of people on Twitter, you know, who are very nitpicky about you can't call yourself a pharmacist if you're not on the register, and totally demolish some very jovial pre-regs day because they've just passed their pre-reg exam. But if you do a pharmacy degree, you should be a pharmacist by the end of it. So it makes total sense logistically.
I've never thought about that, actually. Yeah.
I think to do a pharmacy degree and come out and not be able to call yourself a pharmacist until a year later, and then you pass the exam, and then you've got to wait 2 days after the exam results until you're on the register, I think is just, you know, it's logistics. But I think definitely what you said about the whole experiential learning, I think that was definitely one of the cornerstones that drove the new 5-year integrated, was because students just said there wasn't enough. And it's a devil's advocate, really, because it's very hard for the unis to get 120 students out on experiential learning.
It's difficult if you've never done it before, but if it becomes the norm, then it's not difficult.
And the support is put in place, then, you know, and if that is what is required of the course, then it will have to happen. And I definitely think that's probably one of the best sort of boosts for the course, is that sort of cornerstone pushing at the experiential learning, because at the end of the day, that's what we all enjoyed most about uni, was actually seeing it in practice, going out into the wards, going out into the dispensaries and the community pharmacies, and talking to patients. Because, you know, you can check a prescription till you're blue in the face, or talk to, you know, one of your lecturers till you're blue in the face pretending to be a 16-year-old with, you know, some sort of ailment. But until you're actually talking to a patient in a busy pharmacy, or talking to a patient in a ward who's struggling to take their medicines, then you're not really fully prepared. And I suppose that's what your pre-reg year is all about. So I suggest, or I suppose, why not bring that into an earlier part of the program?
Yeah, makes sense. So the future, Josh, what's the plan, mate? Well, actually, before we go there, you're doing your pre-reg at the moment. Tell us a bit about that. How's it going?
Pre-reg, I just want to pass the thing, to be honest. Pre-reg is good. It's going, like I said, it's going very quickly. So no doubt soon enough, people start muttering about jobs and vacancies and interviews. So that's what's getting me a little bit antsy at the moment. And also my 26-week appraisal around the corner.
Are the headhunters banging your door down yet?
I wish. No.
What, it's property?
I've got a queue outside the door. But no, I wish I did. But no, like I said, I think the interview process brings out the best in people, I would like to say. I think that's quite an exciting time, and it's a little bit of competition, which I think everybody secretly enjoys, don't they? I think.
So what's the plan afterwards? Are you going into, or do you know yet? That's quite a private question.
Well, no, it's fine. We're A part of me wants to say I'll go wherever there's a job.
Yeah, good answer.
Another part of me would, I don't know, love to say that. It's a difficult question, isn't it? I think probably about 50% of the jobs that I'll be doing in 20 years' time don't even exist yet. So, you know, I think that's that the statistics, something like that, or, you know, a large percentage of the jobs I think the 20-year-olds of today's society will be doing don't exist. So I suppose the question is, what's coming up in the future? Who knows? But
is it community, hospital, or do you know sector yet?
Sector. Are we going back to those silos that we like to talk
silos,
about?
Silos, yeah. Are you heading for the promised land of GP pharmacy?
GP pharmacy. I did my dissertation in GP pharmacy. It's a very interesting and up and coming area. But I enjoy hospital. I like the workload. I like the people that, you know, I work with. I like to see the patients and really be involved in that sort of multidisciplinary team. But I mean, who knows? I mean, I like community as well. I like seeing patients that you see on a regular basis and all the chocolate at Christmas and things like that.
I think community is the place where you get to use, or I've used most of my skills, actually. It's not been in GP practice yet.
Really?
It's a narrower skill set.
Yeah.
In community, you're more isolated, you're more autonomous. And I actually think that's better for the profession.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of the time it's just you by yourself, isn't it? It's
mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
rarely do you have a double cover nowadays. I think it's becoming a thing of the past. So
definitely the two pharmacist model, that's so 1995, isn't it?
No, so retro, bringing it back. All we talk about is a future, but I think sometimes we forget what's happened before. But and as in community as well, there's so many, you know, the autonomy is growing so greatly in community. I mean, the amount of PGDs and, you know, different things that are happening, and, you know, obviously if you ever read through, I don't recommend reading the whole thing, but the GP contract, you know, there's quite a big sort of shift workload onto pharmacists. So, you know, it's exciting what's coming ahead, I think. But
yeah,
where we end up in 5 years' time, who's anybody's guess?
Yeah, I think you make a good point about community. I did another plug for another podcast. My other favourite guest, I spoke to Trudy McIntosh from RGU on Tuesday past, and we were talking about the new community pharmacy independent prescribing course, which is really like exciting.
About time.
Word leading.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. No, definitely. I think it's things like that we should be pushing. I think, you know, we're all very good at saying what we want and what we want to be able to do. I think we're very good at that, but where we struggle sometimes is going out and getting it. And I think that's where we maybe need to do more and shouting about what we can do, because we're quite a modest bunch, I think. So we need to be more vocal about that. And I think things will definitely come, because, you know, the change in pharmacy, and community pharmacy especially, from when I first started uni, is crazy.
So what's the feeling amongst your peers? Like, are you optimistic about the profession?
Yeah, I think so. Talking to everybody, we had a couple of training days last week, and seeing everybody from community and hospital and some modular pre-regs as well. Let's not forget about them. And I think everybody's pretty upbeat. I think it's, like I said, it's quite exciting. Everybody's getting to the point now with jobs. And I think it's quite clear in Scotland, at least, about, you know, pharmacy and where we're going and where we're wanting to go. So I think everybody's pretty excited to get on the register and be a big boy pharmacist.
So if you could change one thing, and I know you haven't even started pharmacy yet, like if you could change one thing before you even start, what would it be?
Oh, God. I honestly don't know. That's, like you said, I feel like a hypocrite if I even answer this question, because probably the thing that I want to change probably exists somewhere in some health board or something, and I'll be offending someone. I don't know. More than likely. I mean, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think probably like I said before, I think we just need to be more upfront about how good we are, I think. I think, and I'm not saying that in a big-headed way, I'm saying that in terms of the great work that goes on, and I think a lot of people don't see that, and I think, you know, you're a good fan of Twitter, and as am I, and I think you see a lot of great things on Twitter that I wish a lot of other people would see.
So there's one moment, well, there's lots of moments in my career, it's been a catalogue of errors along the way. Most of which end up being an ethical dilemma on pharmacy practice, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but one thing I remember from my, like, early days was the first time I made a dispensing error. And I wasn't prepared for that. How do you think you'll feel? Have you mentally prepared for that?
God, I don't know. I was listening to one of your podcasts, and that was a question you asked, was, do you remember when you first made your first error?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can really get prepared for it, can they? I think it's probably something that you've just got to take and you know, hope and God forbid that it is a relatively minor one. Everybody's human, everybody makes mistakes. I mean, even the robot in my work sometimes spits out the wrong medicine. So I think I think the bigger thing is how you learn from that and how you develop afterwards. And if you make the same, I think if you're making the same errors or mistakes, I think that's when you should really probably reevaluate and have a look. But no, and this is something they don't teach you at uni, is how to deal with errors or how to deal with if you've done something wrong, which I think is probably something that's lacking. I might feed that back to the working group of the 5-year course, because it's something that's inevitable in everybody's career. And I think it's a big part, and it can probably weigh heavily in a lot of people, do you not think?
Yeah, no one goes in to do a bad job. That's exactly. It's quite interesting I wanted to ask you, given that you've never practiced, I thought it'd be quite interesting to hear how you felt about it, having never made an error, but obviously you can't because you haven't practiced. But
yeah, it's difficult.
I'll maybe speak to you in a year's time and see.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, a year's time. Come back to me, we can redo this whole podcast.
And definitely, it's on.
All my views that I said today are probably out the window. I've made a few dispensing errors when I've been dispensing on my Saturday job, and I kick myself for it. And it's, you know, it's always the little ones, like capsules instead of tablets, which annoy me, because that's just such a stupid error to make. And you know, I remember telling one of my friends at uni, and they were like, you know, why does it matter? You know, if they can swallow a capsule, they can swallow a tablet. But I think being in hospital has probably reinforced that, of you don't actually know what the home circumstances are. You don't know, you know, blah, 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 blah. If that's what's written on the prescription, that's what you should give. And I think they're the ones that I really got annoyed at myself during uni and stuff like that. But yeah, come back to me in a year.
Yeah, you just gotta pick yourself up. And yeah. No one goes in to do a bad job.
Yeah.
Have you got a favorite drug?
Have I got a favorite? What, like, to dispense, or what are you asking me here?
Just a favorite one.
A favorite one. Probably. I mean, I can't say half of them, to be honest. So I think you're just spiking this out of me just to get a laugh. I don't know. Probably calcitriol, because I think you say it calcitriol. How'd you say it?
I think it's calcitriol.
There you go, calcitriol. That's one of the ones that everybody gets a laugh out when I say that in the dispensary. So,
but like, I mean, that's a whole podcast on itself. How to pronounce drugs? Bendromethiazide.
Bendromethiazide. Yeah, I know that one. I just say, or no, actually, Keppra, because I cannot say that one. The generic, the lever. That one, can't say it, just say Keppra.
And what, have you ever stolen a pen?
A pen?
Yeah, from a dispensary.
No, but everybody seems to steal mine, and this is a real pet peeve of mine. I can go in to work or hospital with 2 pens and come out with none, and also -2 pens in my bag, so I don't really know how that works out.
You know your Saturday job?
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst job that you had to do?
I don't want to say in case they are listening.
Of course they'll be listening. Everybody listens to this podcast.
Probably the one job I hated most is putting the order away. I hated that job. I loathed it. And me and one of my good friends who used to work a Saturday with me as well used to try and time ourselves how quickly we could put a tote away. And there was always that, and a lot of you will know this in community, there was always that one tote that had stragglers. You know, you had some totes that were just full of bulk, you know, 12 items of the same thing, and you always had that one tote at the very end that had one of everything, and it used to, oh, that used to be the worst.
Well, there was someone I used to work with in a pharmacy years ago, which we will remain nameless, who used to, when I did my head in, putting away the order.
Mm-hmm.
So that person would go for all the easy ones, you know, all the fast lines.
Yes, the metformin, the
metrazol. Yeah, easy peasy. I mean, a metrazol, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Loads of folk on that. And then you've got these really weird stragglers at the end, which you had to really concentrate on. That used to annoy me.
Yeah.
But putting away the orders, it's actually very useful in a community pharmacy to know what's happening, especially if you're the manager.
Yeah, and also if you're a first or second year student, definitely ask to put the order away, because it helps so much knowing the drugs and stuff like that. So I definitely recommend doing that. Sorry, if you ever come to me in a community pharmacy and you're in first and second year, that's what you're getting to do. I think measuring for stockings, that was a job that we all used to sort of look at each other and maybe do rock, paper, scissors. I think that one.
Have you measured a truss yet?
No, and I've who was telling me, I don't think they actually do that often in community pharmacy. Alan Harrison was telling me how you correctly measure one, and pretty sure I don't want to do that.
Well, so. Annoyingly, YouTube videos I found are very thin on the ground for truss measuring.
Well, there you go, Jonathan. Maybe you can venture into YouTube, and that could be the first YouTube video from pharmacy.
An inguinal truss. Yeah, good idea.
You can find. I'm not being a model, so you can find it. I think I might be busy that day when you record that.
So what do you think about the leadership of the profession without offending anyone? or probably naming names.
How can I even answer that question? The leadership of the profession.
Put it in a different way then, to be fair. If you were in charge, what would you do?
I think I'd rather answer the other question, to be honest.
Okay, go for it.
I think we're doing a very good job at the moment. So I like to just start that off with a blanket compliment. Everybody seems to be doing a very good job. I think what I would like to see, and this is no insult at all, but I would like to see some younger faces. I think it's very much the same old people. And you know what? Those people are very, very experienced. They are very, very knowledgeable, and I admire them greatly. But I think when it comes to sort of directing the profession, are they, you know, are some of these people going to be still practicing in 15, 20 years' time? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was discussed in public business at the RPS board meeting the other day that I've made it clear that I would be in favour of fixed terms.
Yes,
for RPS board members. I mean, that's just one organisation of many, you know.
That's the thing, I think. And also, students. Why should students? I don't think a lot of people know that these RPS, and I'm only choosing RPS here because I actually went to a board meeting, but these are open business. You do your open business in the morning, right? And any member can go to that, and I think, you know, we should be encouraging that. Maybe even something a student member, I don't know, something that sort of mixes it up a little. Mm-hmm. I was pleased when Tamara and Andrew got co-opted onto the board. I thought that was a great move. Mm-hmm. Young, newly qualified pharmacists, or newish qualified pharmacists. And I personally would like to see England and Wales follow suit. I think it's about time. I think it's definitely in need of a shake-up, I think.
Well, both of them, and this is a direct quote from the meeting yesterday, both of them frequently just say what everybody's thinking, and that's ideal for a board member.
Yeah, but I think so, and I think it's all very well making up all these rules and stuff, you know, at a board table, but if you're not down there in the nitty-gritty and working, you know,
in community pharmacy or working in hospital and things. And not to say that some of the board members don't, because I know they do, but I think it's very different when you're a younger pharmacist and you're, you know, you're also looking ahead as at where, you know, your career is going to go. I think it's important to get their views.
It's about a blend, isn't it? And you know, experience, different sectors. I know, I think the Welsh board have sectoral places, so they have to have, you know, community representative and so on and so forth, I think. That's another angle to it. But I just think it's time for change, to be honest.
I probably agree with you there. I think if, you know, they've all done a great job. I think, you know, and this, we may as well use this year as a great year of change since everything else is changing in the profession. But yeah, I would like to see some movement. But I also think there's a problem with people not knowing about it or not putting themselves forward, which I think is another issue. And I think maybe if we open the doors a little and invite, you know, more along to see what actually happens, I'd like to hope that there's more involvement in the next elections and hustings and such.
I mean RPS is just one of many organizations now. Of course, there's lots of representative bodies, like
and the BPSA, and you know, you've got all your other ones. And yeah, I think around the board, I think it'd be good to have a shake up.
So what's next for you? Passing your pre-reg?
Passing the pre-reg, yeah, the dreaded exam. 27th of June is the date that I have in my diary. I don't know, when do you think we should all start revising? Jonathan, why don't you tell us? Give us a date soon. And then we can stop the speculation soon. I think I'm in sort of that limbo where, you know, you've just finished uni, you don't really have to revise for anything as such, and now it's starting to get into the sort of the swing of things. And
yeah, the big thing I remember about pre-reg was standing up all day. That was quite annoying.
Well, I must admit, I've been on cross sector the last 3 weeks in community, and I've been more tired after my community cross sector than I do when I'm at my normal pre-reg, and I think it is because I stand up all day.
But you're a survivor, Josh. You'll make it.
I'll pull through just about, I think. But I mean, let's hope.
Very good. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. It's been really interesting to get the view of you keep reminding me that I'm old now. I'm only 35.
The opinions of an unregistered pharmacist.
Non-legit. Better not
call myself a pharmacist there. I might get slack. But a pre-reg, yes.
Thank you very much
for having me on. It's a real privilege.
It's great to have you. And I think you're doing really well, and I think you represent the profession really well. So, and I think you'll be a great pharmacist as well. I'll maybe leave it 6 months before I bring my prescription though. Is that okay?
do it. Just let's take it off a paracetamol tablet and get capsules. But
Hashtag trust Josh. Very good. Thanks very much for joining us, Josh.
No problem, mate. Thank you very much.
See you later, buddy.